it is somewhat remarkable that we look at Jesus' inaugural address as the gospel text for All Saints Sundays. In Jesus' first sermon, after he had read from the scroll of Isaiah, Jesus declared that he had been anointed like the prophets before him for specific purposes, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, to cause the blind to see, and to proclaim a jubilee year, a year of favor before God. Jesus' understanding of his own call, vouchsafed and perhaps revealed by the overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit all along the way, echoes Mary's song. As Mary combs scripture for an understanding of what it will mean for her son to sit on the throne of David. And throne occupying is for serving God's purpose of peace, of shalom. As Mary sang it, the song of God's promise was a song of God's faithfulness to God's people Israel. As Jesus presents it back in Luke 4, God's promises of restoration and the creation of wholeness, God's saving promises, are for Israel and not Israel. They are for all God's people. Yet, these promises of shalom will bring adjustment and changes. And changes so often generate fear. Watch Jesus' fellow villagers react with violence to the changes he promises. So by the time we get to Luke 6, Jesus has chosen his counsel, if you will, demonstrated God's commitment to healing, and has begun to gather a reputation that brings folks to him in droves. Like Moses, who was Jesus' forebearer in closeness to God, in faith and leadership, Jesus has both gone up the mountain and then come down to deliver a clear statement of God's will for the people. Jesus describes how this world will look as the world and all God's creatures are brought around to belong fully to God. It's a moment of faithful imagination of God's worldwide shalom, which has come near in Jesus himself. Luke has skillfully brought us step by step to a place where we must take these words of Jesus' sermon on the plain with utter seriousness. These are words that describe for Jesus' followers a different world, a citizenship from heaven, as Paul describes it in Philippians. There is then a kind of divide between the blessed and the woeful. But it is precisely not, the divide that our world would create between winners and losers, between successful and unsuccessful, between elites and non-elites. The blessed are those who have caught at least a glimpse of God's future and trust that it is for them. And the blessed may be poor or needy, even weeping in life by the standards we have, but they are blessed in both trust of God and in God's future, in their hope of justice. The woeful are those who have forgotten that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The woeful are those who say yes to the title question of an old song, "Is that all there is?" Luke's text uses direct address and doesn't mince words about being poor, hungry, grief-stricken, and the like. We do not have to work very hard to imagine the lives of first-century Palestinian Jews as very susceptible to poverty, hunger, and loss. Nor do we have to work very hard to imagine the lives of many of our 21st century sisters and brothers equally beset by harsh realities, especially post-pandemic COVID. As those in need were all around Jesus, having come for both hope and healing, So they continue to need both in our own age. So we come to the real question for ourselves. What does this text heard on All Saints Sunday offer to us? Remembrance, love, and honor of our forebears? Yes, indeed. We are called to remember saints who have gathered around Jesus in every time and place, people with needs and hopes, people who caught at least a glimpse of a world more fully God-shaped than the one they lived in. We come from a people and from individual persons to whom we owe much of who we are and much of who we long to be. Our history and our imagination of God's reign looks back to the promises of God as Jesus spoke to them on a plain long ago. Our history and imagination look back to our more recent forebears who carried the faith, who taught it to us. These folk gone before remain vital in the great communion of God's people we celebrate at All Saints. But there is more for us, much more. This text points always ahead into God's coming future, the fullness of which we seek to know. It is for all the saints who gather now to be reminded that the hope of the world is not for the same old thing to continue, not for all of us to become the elites, never to worry about illness or loss. The hope for God's world is that we lean into God's future together. Jesus delivers this sermon not as an eschatological end of time guidebook, but as a guide for daily life right now, for all the saints. The message that Jesus brings and is a tough one for us. It calls for change of vision, change of behavior, change in our very selves. Resistance to and fear of change surely is one of the main drivers in the world. Now, when Jesus speaks, he speaks specifically to his disciples. What follows is the standard for which every disciple should strive. Nevertheless, the sermon doesn't begin with admonitions and exhortations, but with the pronouncement of God's blessings on the disciples. The Beatitudes are active. They declare God's favor on the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and those who are hated. How fortunate they are, for theirs is the kingdom. At the same time, the woes, the watch out, declare that those who prosper now will be judged. Again, God's commitment to the poor and oppressed is expressed. This is not idealizing or romanticizing or glorifying poverty. It's declaring God's preferential treatment of the poor. And Jesus' teachings are scandalous because they overturn every conventional expectation. Jesus' direct speech is disquieting, compelling the listener to ask, "Who, me?" Jesus focuses first on his disciples within a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. With the crowds, we overhear his words, wondering if he means it only for those 12. Then we find ourselves specifically included in verse 27 among you that listen. Jesus is not delivering an abstract definition of discipleship or sainthood. He's not listing the qualifications for getting into heaven. He's calling all to hear to become faithful and effective agents of God's reign here and now. The problem for us hearers is not that Jesus' words are hard to understand, but that their clear meaning is so challenging. The rules of engagement of Jesus' reign stand in sharp contrast to the presumed rights of the prosperous to wealth, abundant food, and good times because I earned it. In Jesus' words, rich and poor alike glimpse a realm at odds with the way things are. All Saints' Day is a witness to God's way of blessing the world, not simply reinforcing the entitlement of the privileged to the way things are, but revealing God's justice fulfilled in mercy. As in his kingdom prayer, Jesus brought God's way of ruling the world down to earth and invited his disciples, invited us, into this holy venture. This is not an ideological agenda or a political platform, but a vision of God's reign, which Jesus embodied. Jesus knew that people are possessed by their possessions. He lamented how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. But he also concluded that what is impossible for mortals is possible for God. Jesus is talking about an astounding time of creativity, both breathtaking and disturbing in the world he occupies with those first century folks, a time of change that draws people to him and terrifies others. As the saints of the past have glimpsed this truth of life in God's world and handed it on to us, so we glimpse that same truth and are calling into God's world, perceiving all people as God's people, free to acknowledge that our lives and our needs, our safety and shalom are in God's hands. And acknowledging that, we dare to imagine and engage the world in God's name. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.